Hi, and welcome to Living Word Northwest's podcast. We are so glad that you're here. Our goal at Living Word is to reach people, touch lives, and make a difference. Our hope is that this week's message encourages you and those listening with you. Remember, God wants to connect with you on a personal level, and we don't think it's an accident that you're here. If you or someone like you needs help along that journey, we are here for you. Stay tuned after this message on how to connect with us, but for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's sermon.
Hallelujah. We've been in a series called Retreat. Oh, Jesus, I love this series. It's called Retreat. Definition of retreat, an act of moving back or withdrawing. Well, that doesn't sound very Christian. A quiet or secluded place in which one can rest and relax. That's what I feel like we had this morning. Yeah. Yeah. Not just because of the comfy chairs, man, even before that. Psalm 32:7 has been kind of our core scripture. Lord, you are my secret hiding place, protecting me from these troubles, surrounding me with songs of gladness. Your joyous shouts of rescue release my breakthrough. It's like a vacation. Heidi and I, we're going to take a trip this coming week here, taking a few days, practicing what we preach, putting our money where our mouth is. Amen. So we're taking a few days off during the week because we have a director over our departments, over the campuses here, and he sat me down and he's like, Brandon, I just really want to make sure you're taking some Sundays off. And I was like, dude, like, this is the most filling time of my week. This is like what I live for. So I'll take days off during the week. Peace out, office, right? But I want to be here on Sundays anyway. So Heidi and I, yeah, praise the Lord. Heidi and I, we just, I don't know about you guys, but we can't just go on a vacation. When we go on a vacation, there is a process of planning that has to take place. And if you got kids, you all know what I'm talking about. And if you don't have kids, you make the rest of us sick. Because you're like, spontaneous vacation weekend, woo! And you just go and you just have fun. Blah, puke. So I'm not on Instagram anymore. Because if I said what I really wanted to say, North Shore trip, oh, love spontaneity. Woo. It's just, no. It doesn't work that way with us. When we go on a vacation, when we retreat, there is a process. Right? We're a blended family. So our process is like double the fun. That's all I'm going to say about that. We got a lot of things that we got to work out, right? We've got to pick a week where, you know, maybe we pick a week where we don't have two of our children. So then there's a little less money we have to pay someone, right? And then we got to find a week where the person or the people that are going to watch our two younger ones is available, right? So that's just like step one. Step one is, can we go on vacation? And after we figure out those basic things, out of 52 weeks in a year, we've got about 3 days to choose from. Maybe four, right? So that's just getting started. There's the financial process of retreating, right? The financial process is, okay, can we find somebody to watch our kids for free? Jesus, please, right? Or okay, so how are we going to get there? We're driving. Okay, so gas, we got to budget the gas because that's going to be extra. And then food, what kind of, are we going to just, you know, bring PB&J to save money? Or are we going to like go out to eat and go big this time? You know, there's the financial process to retreating, right? How about the packing process? I am actually the... I'm the high maintenance.
I feel like it takes you a lot longer to pack than I do. It's true, babe. Yep. A little high maintenance.
I was trying to think of a different word. That was kind of harsh. I put a little bit more attention into my packing. And, you know, so there's packing, and depending on what season it is, not only that, but you got to pack for your stinking kids, too, because they're going, and they got their thing, and their sound machine, and the monitors, and the blankies, and all the things that they're not stinking kids. You know what I'm saying, right? I love my children. I love you, children. I love you. But there's all of this packing thing, right? Packing food. So are we going to buy the cold food when we get there? Are we going to do the cooler thing? And we got to stop for ice. And where can I get the cheapest ice? Does McDonald's still sell ice? Sheets. Are we going to sleep in the beds? But then we actually have to do the laundry and we're on a retreat and I don't want to do laundry while I'm vacationing. So should we just bring sleeping bags? But that's not very romantic, is it, babe? So, you're trying to figure out all of these things. I guess it could be. We should do sleeping bags. One. Yes. Just one sleeping
Focus.
Bag. Sorry. Okay.
Focus.
I like that shirt. It's looking good. I just got me thinking. All right. But here's the thing. I way got lost here. I got to just give me 1 second. My mind is elsewhere. Sleeping bags. All right. Every priority requires a process. Oh, and I know you're like, oh, here's Brandon, Enneagram 1, planning and... No, any priority requires a process. We have to handle... We have to handle other priorities before we take this retreat. This is what we're working through this week as we plan to go. What time of day are we going to travel, right? What activities do we want to do when we get there? How long are we going to stay? Our planning. Our priorities require a process. And here's what kind of I found in my life. What I don't plan doesn't plant. Okay? So, and if it doesn't plant, then it doesn't take root. And you can go on as many vacations or retreats as you want, and you don't kind of get what you need out of it. And that goes with us, in the natural sense, but it also goes when we try and find these opportunities, even if they're just small opportunities throughout the day to retreat into the Lord. And I want all that I can get in the time that I am investing into the Lord and He's investing into me. Now, let me pause and I want to say this. I want to look at the other side of the coin this morning. Sometimes there is this overwhelming draw to retreat into God outside of the schedule. Yes, where all my prayers are like, ooh, I like where He's going with this, right? There's a draw. There's an overwhelming need to step outside of the schedule, something the schedule and the process almost can't handle. And when you look at God, on one hand, yes, He is planned, right? Creation, it was planned. There was a process to how He did creation. Amen? When you look at things Jesus' lineage, it's actually very thought out. God had a plan with the lineage of Jesus. Amen? Yep, there's things. This is like making me feel really good as a one. Prophecy, right? Prophecy is one of those things where we're actually getting a glimpse into the future plans. On the other hand, God is very spontaneous. He is very creative. He is. And that's why it's so easy to always find something new in God. He's spontaneous. He's creative. Jesus doesn't get much more spontaneous than that guy. The Holy Spirit. You try and plan that. Good luck. The book of Revelation, for God's sakes. Come on, church. God is creative. You can see how amazing and creative and spontaneous as He is. He is. Amen? And so here's where my struggle was. Is as a pastor, I sometimes find it hard to like express how can God be so planned and have a process, but also be so creative and so spontaneous, besides just me like running back and forth in front of you trying to explain both sides of the coin. So I ask God, show me, like, how can I say this? Because sometimes it makes sense in here, but you got to get it out here, right? So I don't ever want to assume that what's making sense to me in here is making sense to you. I want you to grab what I'm talking about this morning, because it's both. It's a process and it's spontaneous, this idea of retreating into God. So go with me there. And I was asking God, God used parables and stories, to kind of explain these very countercultural things that He was preaching. And this is what the Lord showed me when I asked Him. You guys, you ever remember road trips? It's so funny because you're like, wow, this is what the Lord told you, road trip. Such a deep relationship. You guys remember road trips like 15 years ago? I just picture National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I'm not saying go watch the movie. I'm not saying it's my favorite Christmas movie of all time. But I'm telling you, you know, in the beginning of that, when they're just like they're on the road trip, back in like the 80s and early 90s, when it was the whole family and it was the worst thing ever if the car was just like quiet because you were bored out of your mind. And so you turned on this thing. Some of you may not know what it is. I'll explain it. It's called a radio. Radio. Right? And you would turn on the radio, but when you're on a vacation, you're driving somewhere where maybe you can't get a signal, right? So there's little knobs on the radio, and you turn the knob, and it's a tuner. It's picking up the signal so that you can find your Garth Brooks, right? Because when we went on vacations, we listened to Garth Brooks because my mom liked Garth Brooks. Still does. Still, you know, people that like Garth Brooks, like, he's so cute. They still just love him. Anyway, so nowadays we have technology and the car is silent 100% of the time. Amen. But back then, when you wanted something, you had to make these little tweaks and turns to the tuner knob to hear what you wanted to hear. And when you finally found Garth, you were like, I got friends in low places. Okay. The point is that the signal is always out there. Yeah. Okay? The signal is always out there. So yes, God is in the set aside times that we plan. And yes, he's in the word, and yes, he's in prayer, but he's also everywhere that you go. And sometimes it takes just tweaking things a little bit in order to pick up and hear what he's speaking to you. As much as you can plan, sometimes we're just making, like Pastor Lynn calls, little tweaks along the way to hear what he is saying as we retreat. And when we hear him, it's like when you finally find Garth on the radio in the car, everybody's like, yeah, here we go, right? And it breaks. There's like a break in the boredom. It's a planned trip, but it's marked by these times of being spontaneous. That makes sense? Radio. It's a radio.
So, like, you hear static, right, until you find that song, and it's clear. And this is an example of Elijah to me. I think that there is this very powerful example of what you're saying, babe. When in 1 Kings 19, Elijah was so angry and so fearful and so depressed and wanted to take his life. And so it's like that static, you know, his soul was at unrest because of what other people were saying and doing. And he brought this, his soul unrest to the Lord, and he was telling the Lord about where he was at because the Lord cares. And the Lord said to Elijah, come up to the mountain and stand before me. The Lord is constantly drawing us up higher. He is constantly calling us to rise above the situations, above other people's choices and words, above our own mental or physical or emotional battles. Because he wants us to see ourselves seated above with him, higher than all the other things that are causing this unrest, to see ourselves above with him. Because when we see things from that place, it looks very, very different. Right. To come up away from the noise and the distraction and to be before the Lord in that place.
Yeah.
And Elijah decided to do that. And he didn't have to. He could have stayed in that soul unrest place. But he decided to go up to the top of the mountain and be before the Lord. And he saw this mighty, and you probably know the story, but he saw this mighty windstorm that's shaking the rocks. And then he sees this loud, powerful earthquake. And then he sees this raging fire, but he couldn't see the Lord in any of those things. And then he hears this clear, gentle whisper. And it's the Lord's voice. And that speaks the loudest and the most powerfully to him. And in that whisper, the Lord gives him clarity and wisdom that he needs and detailed direction on what to do next. Yeah. When we don't know what to do and our soul is at unrest, that static, right. He's always there. But we can ask the one who knows what to do, and he is faithful to tell us what's next. He's faithful to provide what we need. He's faithful to provide what we need even when we don't even know what we need. Right. And it was in that retreat and in that whisper that the Lord gave Elijah discernment to tell him what the Lord wasn't in and what he was in. Yeah. What he was a part of, wow. And what he wasn't a part of. Illusion versus truth. Wow. And in Jeremiah 6:16, the Lord talks about when we're at a crossroads and we don't know what to do. He says, stand at the crossroad, right? And look. Ask for my ancient paths. That's the truth of who God is. Yeah. Ask for where the good way is. And walk in it. And guess what? You will find rest for your souls. As we retreat into him and we're asking him, he is faithful to give us what we need. He is faithful to help us walk in it, to find and bring that rest for our souls. Because true rest only comes from him. Yeah. For our souls, it only comes from him. Yeah. And he is faithful to provide that rest that we need.
Yeah, that's so good, man.
I just love how, like, God speaks to you through, like, the ancient prophets, and he speaks to me through Garth Brooks. I just...
That's good. That's good.
That's so good. I'm just like, holy crap, that was so good. I would buy that. Jeez. You gotta write a book. Hey. All right. That was so good, babe. The disciples, thinking of the disciples, right, as an example to us. The disciples, they not only like taught about Jesus, but they literally had the opportunity to be with him face to face. So we can learn kind of what they went through. They walked out these, you know, what we would call unforced rhythms of grace, but at the same time, they were with Jesus and had to just be spontaneous in the ebb and flow of what he was feeling led to do. So in 1 John 1, 1 through 4, this kind of describes that. We saw or experienced him, Jesus, with our very own eyes. We gazed upon him and heard him speak. Our hands actually touched him, the one who was from the beginning, the living expression of God. This life giver was made visible and we have seen him. We testify to this truth. The eternal life giver lived face to face with the Father and has now dawned upon us. So we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard about this life giver so that we may share and enjoy this life together. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Anointed One. We are writing these things to you because we want to release to you our fullness of joy. See, here's the thing. When we retreat into Jesus, when we truly prioritize our time with him, as much or as little as that might be, when we gaze upon Jesus, literally look at him like the disciples did, when we want a face-to-face type of relationship with him, what happens? We can read it right here. We share and enjoy this life.
Come on, Pastor.
Fullness of joy is released. That's the new birth. That's the new creation, is that amidst everything that's going on, somehow we share and enjoy this life together. Somehow joy, fullness of joy is released unto us. There's a song, "Nothing in this world can satisfy me. Jesus, you alone can fill me up." You guys remember that song? It is your love. It is your goodness. Yeah, it was a great song. What connections happen? What transformation happens when we prioritize the Father the way that He prioritizes us? I think of when Heidi and I, we go on a vacation, and it's funny now because we're like, yeah, this week we're going on our retreat. And I'm like, that sounds so weird, but this is like ingrained into us. We're getting away with each other. Think of the connections that happen with your loved ones when you do this, when you go through the process and you make the plans and you retreat and you allow for spontaneity. Think of the connections or the memories that are made. Think of how your soul gets filled when you're just out there on your own, just right? So think about what happens, how our souls are filled. Did you have something to say just about that retreating time, getting away?
Well, I do. It's not always easy.
Yeah, right.
I think, you know, retreating into Jesus' presence isn't always easy. And Jesus understands because even He couldn't get away sometimes.
Right.
And Mark 6:31-32 says, there was such a swirl of activity around Jesus with so many people coming and going that they were unable to even eat a meal. So Jesus said to His disciples, come, let's take a break and find a secluded place where you can rest a while.
Yeah.
They slipped away and left by sailboat for a deserted spot. Well, the crowd got wind of where Jesus and the disciples were going, and they rushed ahead of Him to that spot and stood there and waited for Him. And when He saw them, you know, He understands that it's not always easy to get away. He understands when things don't go as planned. And when He saw that massive crowd on the shore, from little babies to grandmas and grandpas waiting for Him, He didn't get annoyed at them for ruining His break. The Lord filled Him with a compassion for them. And the Aramaic says He was filled with a nurturing love for the people. And the Lord graced Him with strength to be who He was created to be and to step out of that boat into the crowd and walk through them and heal them and teach them and love them. And I feel like the Lord has opportunities for us, things to show us, things to give us in the unexpected plans, even when we're trying to rest. Because in this place, this is the place where Jesus, and this is so cool because Brandon and I didn't talk about, I mean, you talked about feeding of the 5,000. Well, it was in this place that He told everybody to sit down and rest in the green pastures so that He could perform the miracle of multiplying the bread and the fish and give way over 5,000 with an abundance to feed them, because it was one of the things that He was teaching them was that in that place of rest, when He was trying to go find rest, He was teaching them, in that place of rest, miracles, provision, solution come while you're resting. It was while they were sitting on the green pastures that this happened. And then after everybody was fed, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, filled to the abundance, Jesus had His disciples go back onto the sailboat and cross the lake, and He had everybody else be dismissed, and He went up to the top of the hills to be alone with His Father. So resting and retreating doesn't always look the same.
Right.
It doesn't always look the same, but as we look to the Lord in that place of retreat, we can know that He is faithful to provide what we need, whatever that is. He's faithful to provide it, even in the unexpected plans. And I think sometimes those are the most powerful times that the Lord shows us things, not just what we planned. Right?
That's so good. Song of Solomon 2:10 says, my lover said to me, rise up, my darling, come away with me, my fair one. And Song of Solomon is written, it's as Jesus talking to His bride. And he's saying, come away with me. And I just love that. Just let that kind of sink in for a moment into your soul, that Jesus is not suggesting. He's literally in front of us, excited, saying, come on, come away with me. Like, let's get out of here. It's like every Hallmark movie you've ever seen. Come on, let's get out of here. Let's be together. You know what I'm saying? There's such a passion and an excitement that he has to be with us, to come away. And sometimes there's a process to doing that, and he'll help. Sometimes it's spontaneous. He'll be there. But I believe that's what he's speaking to us this month, setting us up. Come away with me. Come listen to me. Come just spend time with me. And we say, but we have so much to do. So many kids, so much work, so much happening in society. Got to stay on top of things. And he's like, just come away with me. Let's just get out of town. Like, what would happen? What would happen if we just had 5 minutes together? I think of when Heidi and I first met. It was like that. It was like, how can we find time to be together? You know, I know I've got kids. I know we both have jobs. Like, what? And it ended up being, you know, at like, you know, 11:30 at night. Just the only free time in our day that we had was, let's just talk. She had one of those phones that was like a prepaid Virgin Mobile phone. You guys remember those? Prepaid phone. I'll explain. It's like kind of like a radio, but fancier, but not as fancy as a smartphone. Anyway, she had a prepaid phone, and she would talk, and we would talk until all hours of the morning, just wanting just some time, just to talk, right? And then that beep, she cut off right in the middle of like some great epic statement of something to me. Brandon, I just want to let you know that beep. What? What do you want to let me know? Virgin Mobile, curse you! Right? Yeah, you know that's that company tanked, right? It's because my prayers. I was like, yeah. I'm just kidding. And then about 15 minutes later, my phone would ring. I reloaded my phone. We can talk for another hour. And then the next time I'd see her, I'd give her $20. Like, I am so sorry for using all your minutes. But it's that feeling, you know what I mean? Of just like, I just want 5 more minutes. And that's the way God beckons us to him. So many years in church, we've made it all about like, well, this is time you should set aside. This is the quiet time, right? Remember that? You should plan. Get into your prayer closet. And it was just like, well, what if I don't have time? What if I can't? What if I've only got 5 minutes? And you're telling me I should at least have an hour? Like, what? God, it's not about what we are doing. God is not counting the minutes. He's saying, just come away with me. God's saying, if I can just have 5 minutes, if I could just be with you, just I'll take whatever I can get because I just want to be with you. That's how our relationship developed into what it is because she was constantly saying, I just want to be with you, and I just want to be with you. And it became the tangible example of our love for each other that keeps us together no matter what comes. And God is just saying, just come and be with me. Don't be concerned with what you might say right or wrong. Don't be concerned with how you look or what you've done to me in the past. Just come away with me. Just come away, and we form these connections and we make these memories with our Father, and our souls are transformed by our Father, and our identities change because of just getting away with our Father.
And the more that we get away, the more that we want to be with him.
Yeah. It's true. It's like when we get away, the more we get away with each other. And it takes a lot of work sometimes to make that happen. A lot of planning, a process to make that happen. But then when we get that time away, it re-energizes our relationship. It thickens our skin so that we can handle no matter anything that comes. You know what I'm saying? It's not about did we put it on the calendar every week and did we make it happen every week and how much did we spend every week and how romantic was it every week. It's not about that. It's that she knows, babe, I just want to get away with you. And I know she just wants to spend time with me. Hear your father saying, come away with me. Hear Jesus saying, come away with me. That's why we're talking about retreat this month. Our prayer for you is that you would be able to find open doors of opportunity to retreat into the Lord this month. That's what we're praying for you. Come on, if you work in a 9-to-5, you'd be like, amen. I don't know how it's going to happen, right? But God's going to make a way for it. He will, big ways, small ways. And he'll cover the plans, he'll cover the finances, he'll take care of your kids, he'll work out all the details. He'll wake you up and at 5 minutes extra early in the morning and you'll have enough energy to make it through the day. Somebody will buy you that cup of coffee, amen, to get you through that difficult time. God will, he'll take care of every little detail because he wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. The creator of the universe wants to step away from it all and be with you. He wants to be with you so bad that he put you as a priority over his own son. He wants to be with you. So Jesus, we receive your call. The beck and call to be with you. We receive it and we respond right now. We open up our hearts, our souls, even our emotions, our minds. We crack open those vaults. You say, come away with me. Jesus, we respond. We're coming to you, Jesus. So let all that I am be consumed with all you are.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We know that God meets us right where we are, no matter where that is. If you want to get plugged into our church community by joining one of our life groups, donate to our cause, or just learn more about the mission here at Northwest, please visit us at lwcc.org/Northwest. You can also text the word CONNECT to 612-688-3939. That's 612-688-3939. If this message encouraged you, it would probably encourage someone you know, so feel free to share it. We look forward to connecting with you and hope that you'll join us again next week.